This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
And it's live from Element Lounge 618 North Water Street out here. College Basketball Friday. Wendy's Big Show, Gary Ellerson. He played for the Badgers, also the Packers. He's hanging out here. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show for your Eastern Conference Central Division champion, Milwaukee Bucks. Back at it again tonight, Miami Heat in town. We just talked to Jason Jackson of Miami Heat Television, and speaking to the farewell tour of Dwayne Wade, guys, last night he was hanging out at a institution out here in Milwaukee, and I kind of felt bad for Dwayne Wade. As he's out here in Milwaukee, he's watching the Marquette game, and then they just get trounced. I mean, if there was a worse day for Marquette to go down, it was when right now your most famous alumni is in town watching you, and then you just get beat to shreds by Murray State and John Morant. I mean, that was disappointing.
Well, at least they weren't playing here.
That's a good point. Yeah, it could have been much worse.
Had you been at Fiserv Forum watching that, I might have got up and walked out. Well, I'm sure he'd never get up and walk out, but that was just a dreadful game. They got trounced yesterday.
And, like, the worst part about it was, Sparky, that every single time that – it was a four-point game for most of the first half. I mean, the game was closed throughout the whole first half. Then Morant goes down and hits that three at the end of the half, the couple of seconds left in the half. And they go out on what, a 7-0 run to start out the second half? And it seemingly was just over, and Marquette could never catch up.
You could just tell. By the time the second half came, you could tell by their body language. We said it on the radio yesterday. Their body language was like, yeah, we're done. We just can't deal with it. They were too athletic for Marquette, and Marquette couldn't figure out how to beat – how to get around their defense, their swarming defense. And, again, you got to have help from Marcus Howard. I mean, that kid came out, hit the first couple of shots, and you're like, okay, he's here for the matchup. Let's go. Well, somebody else had to help him. You needed more help offensively than what you got. And as good of a recruiter as Wojo has been credited for being, his guys just didn't play at that high level. The other guys didn't play at that high level for the last couple of weeks of the season.
And that's a great point, because – both of the Hauser brothers at points yesterday looked just stunned during the entire – Sam Hauser was chucking up a couple of threes around like the 10-minute mark left in the game, and he just looked disinterested. It was over at that point, and Marquette just could never rebound. Right now, some games going on. It can't happen again, right? Virginia's not going to lose to another 16 seed.
I don't know.
They're down six at half to Gardner-Webb, 36-30. Tony Bennett's club struggling with Gardner-Webb.
Well, you would hope.
Come on,
this,
Tony.
Here's the thing. We don't know if Tony is like Izzo, because yesterday Izzo went and told some paint off the wall. We don't know if Tony can do tear the paint like that. I mean,
Tony is
like
much more
cerebral,
emotional.
Yep. Cerebral coach, mild mannered, not going to get all upset about a whole lot. I mean, I don't know. So, but we know what Izzo's going to do at halftime.
Tony. I mean, come on. The Virginia Cavaliers down 6 to 16 seed of Gardner-Webb. UC Irvine gets the big upset of the morning, a 13 beat and a 4, knocking out Kansas State. So for the Wisconsin Badgers, guys, good news out there at the SAP Center. They get away from Oregon. They're going to face UC Irvine instead of that Kansas State team with Wade out there, who can really fill it up too for Kansas State, and Bruce Weber's now team.
Yeah, they're done. That didn't help my bracket at all. I don't think it really did. Texas Tech won.
Yep. Right? 72-57, Texas Tech. Texas Tech is one of those teams that a lot of people are picking to go deep.
I got them in the Final Four.
Okay, all right. Red Raiders for Sparky. Yep. My Final Four darling, is starting up at 6:20. That's Calvin Sampson's Houston Cougars.
Love Calvin Sampson.
Also one of those nice long shots that Syracuse lost me last night, which was tough. But Badgers getting going here in about a half hour from right now at Element Lounge. You can come out, hang out with us, watch the game with the Bacardi Babes, $4 Bacardi, $4 Grey Goose, and $5 Wing Baskets. It's a deal to be had. 414-799-1250, the phone number. And to that Marcus Howard game yesterday, Sparky.
Marquette.
And what? Yes.
Marquette, you talking?
Yes, because, I mean, right now it's the Fighting Marcus Howards.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else felt that way. They're the Fighting Marcus Howards. And Steve Wojciechowski brought in Marcus Howard, who was highly coveted for being a 5'8 guard coming out of Chandler, Arizona, a young dude being recruited into Division I basketball. But how much longer of a leash does Steve Wojciechowski deserve at Marquette? Now, this is two tournament appearances in 5 years that he's been the head coach, and both years they get bounced in the first round. Sindarius Thornwell was the thorn in the side of the Golden Eagles when South Carolina knocked him out. Now they went into the Final Four. Murray State and John Morant does it to him this week.
I don't know, man. I think for three quarters of the year, everybody thought Wojo finally figured it out that, okay, here we go. They got the talent. Now they're finally going to get to the tournament and do something. And then they self-destruct over the last couple of weeks. You read quotes from Wojo trying to keep his team up and motivated that they were getting down on themselves. And Tony Smith said that wasn't a street fight against Seton Hall, but it wasn't a pretty game. And
yeah, that's for sure.
Getting guys kicked out, throwing elbows at each other and everything else, clapping as you get somebody to throw an elbow at you. So then you come here. You knew darn right well how good this kid was. Didn't you know? And Gary was talking about 10 last night or yesterday on the show. Once 10 hit a couple shots, you probably should have said, hey, okay, this kid can shoot too.
Right.
You may want to get up on him and make sure he doesn't take another shot.
They didn't think they could beat him.
Right.
They were so focused on John Morant.
But absolutely. And John Morant didn't throw up 50 on you, but he got a triple-double.
Well, he threw
He helped everybody else on his team play better.
Did he 15 have assists.
16.
16 assists.
Yeah, 16 assists.
Right.
What, was it 17, 16, and 11 or something like that?
Yep. He makes his teammates better.
And now, I don't think they saw that, though, Steve.
His teammates have to hit shots still.
Yeah.
And they were hitting shots yesterday. Yeah. And we go back to Marquette, and those guys weren't hitting shots.
Yeah.
So yesterday on Twitter, I threw out there, I said, well, Wojo or Brian Wardle? Because Wardle kept it close for Bradley or whatever. And then some people got so mad. The Marquette fans were just furious. Brian Wardle, he's mean to his players. Don't you remember what happened at UW Green Bay? He's mean. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, true. I'm sure Crean was a soft talker. No, not really.
He was a very caring individual, I heard. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, from that perspective, yes. And I wasn't saying replace him with Wardle. I was just setting the question out there just to kind of see how mad everybody really was about Wojo. Because everybody was throwing a fit about Wojo. I just wanted to see how serious people were about said fit that they were throwing about Wojo. And then, as I'm sitting there and I'm watching how everybody come in with the responses, I see one guy come in with, Marquette will be a top five team next year. Top five. Mark it down. Okay. But if you don't win in the NCAA tournament, none of that means anything.
No, dude.
This isn't Gardner Webb, where you get to the tournament and you're good. Or Milwaukee. We won the Horizon. We just want to be there. Okay. But that's not what this is. Your history of the last two coaches with Kareem and Buzz Williams showed that you should be able to go to the tournament and win somewhat. And they have not done that under Buzz Williams. He had a lottery guy in Henry Ellenson and couldn't get that team to the tournament.
That's a disappointing one. The Henry Ellenson one to me is just still so disappointing, not only just for that year, but also what it did to the whole team and the whole group. If Henry Ellenson is on this team, guys, they're probably a top three seed. With this group of players last couple of years, I mean, they are a dangerous club.
Yeah.
If Henry Ellenson doesn't go out early, and now he's playing in the G League.
But maybe you don't get Hausers then.
Fair.
Maybe you don't
get Joey Hauser.
Maybe they go to Wisconsin. Maybe he goes to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that could have very well changed everything going forward. But really, at the end of the day, next year, if Howard comes back and these Hauser guys, what are expectations going to be?
Well,
our expectations going to go, oh, we should be in the Sweet 16 this year. You've never won a tournament game with this coach.
What's your question? Let me answer your question.
How much leash does Steve Wojciechowski deserve?
You want me to answer that or you want me to come back with it?
I want you to answer it after the break.
All right.
But I'd really like.
I want to answer that question.
Gary's been ahead of the posse on this for 2 years.
Yeah.
But I'd really like you to talk about somebody that deserves a lot of credit
and
a lot of love. That's Dean Murray.
Yeah.
ShopTJC.com.
Man, my good friend Dean Murray is absolutely incredible, isn't he?
He's fantastic.
Three
and
locations.
Frankly, there's some money to be made because, I mean, the people out here at Element Lounge, the Bacardi babes, I mean, there's some Alex Amani, some Pandora charm bracelets that he might be able to sell out
here. You trying to buy one of these girls something?
I'm just saying. I mean, somebody might have
to.
Oh, because somebody
I'm
might
sure
have
got,
to.
I'm sure they got boyfriends now. I see where you're going with that. Absolutely, they do. They do.
Yeah, no, nobody's working on
speak
your
to what they call the what you call
Bacardi
them?
Babes?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure the Bacardi
yes,
babes.
Yes, Lord.
Have some significant others who want to go out and really make sure they get them some, you know, jewelry. From the
jewelry.
Yeah, from the jewelry. Hey, guys, here's what we got going on right now at the Jewelry Center. Shop Pandora Jewelry. Step into the spring style with Sparkle right now. Don't miss the Save More event, which started the other day. March 21st through the 25th. It's a big deal. Spend $150, get $40 off. Spend $250 and get $80 off. Or spend $400 or get more and save $160. Discover our newest selection of wishbone-inspired jewelry, hand-finished in sterling silver, Pandora rose, or 18-karat gold-plated Pandora shine, or explore an endless assortment of dazzling, iconic classics. This March, more sparkles means more savings. Shop Pandora Jewelry now only at the Jewelry Center, located on 76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield, Blue Mountain Road, Tri-City National Bank Building, right on the second floor. And a new location, folks, in Burlington, Wisconsin.
How much longer of a leash does Steve Wojciechowski deserve at Marquette? We answer it next, but he's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 414-799-1250. The phone number, 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show out here at Element Lounge, 618 North Water, hanging out for a college basketball Friday. If there is any better day to just cut out on the last couple hours of work and go and have a couple of beverages, is there any better day than day two of the NCAA tournament?
Opening day.
You think, yeah, I don't know about that.
Just be done with the day at lunch. Go
see,
watch the Brewers.
Because like if I'm going to opening day,
those
though,
bars on Blue Mountain will be packed.
That's like a full day event for me though.
What?
Like if I'm gonna go, if it's opening day, I feel like that's a darty day. That's one of those that you got to start.
Here
at like
we go
9
again.
That's
darty.
One of those you got to start.
I think
at like
that's
9
a baby Tosh word. I don't think anybody else knows that word.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. I think
I'm years old.
I think the years are just catching up on you, bud.
So you think this? So the young people think that?
Yeah, no. You ask like any of the girls over here. You guys know what dartying is? A darty?
Nope.
She's shaking her head. Yes. Yeah. Day party. Know. Yeah, partying during the day. What's better than that?
Well, I think
not
they
much.
Do this every day. They dartying right now.
They're dartying right now, right? Like it's always darty season out here at.
Look at them. They're darting right now. They got coffee darting. They smoking darting. I mean.
Not smoking darts. Yeah, they're not smoking darts.
They're darting right now. They're wide open.
How much longer of a leash does Wojo deserve at Marquette, Gary? I told you I wanted to get your answer, but can I go to D in Colorado first?
Sure.
At 414-799-1250. Yep. D, you're on the Fan. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, how y'all doing, man? My thing with this, the narrative all day that I've been hearing is covered is there. Marquette don't recruit. They can't get talent in. And if you look at other than last year, Marquette – even when Wojo took over, the cover wasn't there. It wasn't like when Gard left Wisconsin and you had people graduating and then you only had two people left and you had to bring recruiting classes in. They've been consistently bringing in four-star recruits. Next year, they got a point guard that's coming in as top 50 in the class. What it comes down to me with Wojo, and he always has an excuse because in the past, Chapman transferred or something happened, and this year, Elliott was hurt. But this team, and don't by no means am I saying they should have walked over Murray State, because I picked them to lose to Murray State because I thought it was a bad matchup to begin with. But Wojo is a bad coach when it comes to X's and O's, and I think that's the biggest problem with Marquette. I don't think it's what people are saying, and I agree with Sparky. I'm not saying Marquette should be in the NCAA championship conversation every year, but they should be able to at least win one or two games at the tournament.
Yep. Exactly.
And I think that's respectful.
Yep. Thanks for the call. I totally agree. Look, I'm not saying they have to be in the Final Four every year with Wojo. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying Wojo needs to turn this into Duke where he came from Coach K. I'm not asking for that either. But goodness gracious, 5 years and you don't have a tournament win yet.
Because Mark,
there's something wrong with that.
As much as this does pain some guys to say and some people to hear, Marquette's a stepping stone program in the eyes of coaching, correct?
Right. Yep.
I mean, you see Buzz Williams go to a team in the ACC in Virginia Tech that were under 500. They had like two conference wins in 2 years, and he went there to turn it around primarily because it was a better recruiting base, and you were going to be able to bring in the kind of guys that he wanted. And,
right.
And, it
and then after
seems
Buzz
like,
left, they moved that line back to where it was for Green, I think, and said the JUCO route is pretty much done here at Marquette.
Right. We're
and
not
Gary called that.
That
Gary said that was going to happen before it did. And Gary's also the one that, what, last year, I think, when we had Jim McElvain out the toy drive, asked Jim McElvain about Wojo's future at that point. And then this year, we brought it up again, not with McElvain, but we brought it up again as far as Wojo's future. And now after this loss, now I think even more people are starting to talk about it.
How much longer of a leash does Wojo deserve, Gary?
Well, I think it's an institutional thing inside of Marquette and how they want to build their program and how they proceed from there, right? I mean, if you look at what Marquette was about, I think, you know, in years past under Buzz, I think they got tired of that, JUCO transfers. I mean, if you look at the Wisconsin program, they don't really do JUCO transfers. That's not what that program is all about. They want to build it from the ground up, and guys stay there 4 years and graduate. And if you're going to do that, then you're okay with what Buzz is. I mean, you still want to win, but you understand that they're going to be up against it trying to win. You got to understand that you could be like Virginia. I mean, Virginia has better players, but the reason why Virginia is so vulnerable in losing games is because they don't have athletes like these other.
They recruit basketball players. They don't recruit
Yeah, athletes. and they can be exposed in tournaments like such as this. So, but to a lesser degree, Marquette don't have the basketball players that Virginia has. And so as an institution, they had to figure out what they want to be and how they want to build their team and how they want it to go. And if they understand that, then they're okay with, you know, Woj being one and done. Or maybe his goal is Sweet 16. And if they make it to Elite Eight, everybody's happy. And so I think that's because this team does not look like it looked on the Buzz. Most certainly, he has to try to figure out how to get it like Tom Crean had it. I mean, that could have been a little bit more cleaner. I want to use the right word, more cleaner than what Buzz had.
Well, Buzz just recruited different type of players. Like
correct.
You said.
Right.
Buzz gave second chances.
He wasn't worried about
you
the 4 year guys.
I think they got mad with me now when I did the poster thing.
Yeah. Correct.
That 1 year.
Yep.
And it just didn't represent their student body. You look at this team right now and represent who comes and pays.
More white guys. But if you go back to Crean, right? So you could say he got lucky with Wade. Let's say you think he got lucky with Wade, whatever.
Yeah.
But he still got Diener. That was a pro. He still got Novak. That was a pro.
Yep.
Right? He still got Wesley Matthews. That was a pro.
Right.
I mean, he went and he was able to recruit guys that eventually went on to have NBA careers.
Right.
To varying different degrees of success. Travis Diener is still playing. He's overseas. He's still playing.
Still making money.
Still getting paid for, right?
So is Dominique James. I mean, you bring up the Wesley Matthews.
Right.
Man, so is Dominique James. So is Jarrell McNeil.
Yep.
Chris Otule played over there for how many years, and he was on that team that went to the final. There were guys that continually were going and making money playing basketball at Marquette.
Right, and same with Buzz Williams. You can talk about Jimmy Butler and some of the other guys that he's had. So now you look at what Wojo is right now, right? So those guys had tournament success, but they had NBA quality talent on those teams when they were having that type of success. Mm-hmm. Has he had NBA quality players on his teams where he should be having that type of success in the NCAA tournament like the other two coaches?
Man, he hasn't.
Because you could talk about Henry Ellenson, that's first round pick.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to the tournament.
Right.
That was only 1 year, though. One and done.
Yeah.
And he had just got there.
He just fresh.
He had just got there, so those weren't his kids necessarily.
Right.
And then now you look at this year. Okay, so Marcus Howard, is that an NBA player?
Maybe second rounder, early second rounder, fringe first rounder.
He's a lot like a lot of the kids that Wisconsin has recruited. You know, that late pick, late first round, early. I mean, those kind of guys.
Okay, and then the Hauser brothers?
Same thing.
I think Sam's got a chance, yeah.
Maybe.
So you think one of them might get drafted?
Maybe.
At some point.
But
remember, Wesley Matthews wasn't drafted.
But neither one of these guys are, let's just say, Decker. The Howler.
There's
guy.
Another one.
Yeah.
Sam Decker. That now that's Wisconsin, but there's another one, right?
Right. I'm just saying, if you want to look for
at that level.
Drafted, go,
Right.
Neither one of them are Kaminsky.
So if you're saying that they don't have the NBA level talent that the other two coaches did, as much credit as he gets for recruiting, maybe it's not as well deserved.
Troy's on the north side. He's next on the Fan. Hey, Troy, how much longer of a leash does Wojo deserve?
Hey, what's up, Big Show? Man, this leash is pretty short for me, man. I've been watching this over the last couple of years. I'm a big-time basketball fan. I got a lot of experience playing ball. But this guy can recruit, number one, man. I've been watching his recruiting. He gets in-state recruits. Okay, he got the house boy. That wasn't no kind of recruit. He can't recruit out-of-state superstars to get to come to Marquette, which isn't a Big East, a good program. Because like you guys said before, they had talent. With the Jerry McNeil, Dominic James, even Jay Crowder, all of them, they had NBA talent players that's in the NBA right now. He's got to do a better job of recruiting, man, because yesterday it's like Murray State has a bunch of five-star recruits. They had one particular player, and the way that he coached yesterday was, I couldn't take it, man. I had to flip the channel. He played right into the kids' hands. He's playing one-on-one. He's putting Joey Hauser out there on the island, looking like he's on an ice skate out there trying to guard the guy. Why didn't he play zone yesterday? Just play a matchup zone against the kid. It's like he doesn't stand X. So when they hired this guy, I was so excited because he came from Duke. And I was like, wow, we might get some Duke-type recruits here. He haven't got one. And a couple players that he did, Sandy Cohen, what's the guy? He transferred out of here. He actually was a good player.
Yep.
And the other kid that went to Iowa State, he was a McDonald's All-American, I think. I can't think of his name. He went to Iowa State. He was a McDonald's All-American here. He went to I can't think of his name right now. But anyway.
Deontay Burton.
Those are the two top recruits that he got, and they transferred on him. I don't know what he's doing, man, but he's got to do a better coaching job than what he did yesterday. That was not respectable, man. I can't take that.
I don't know if the coaching I just think they ran into a better team and a better player. John Morant, he's a top five pick, man.
He's probably going after Zion Williams.
Yeah, I mean, that alone makes you better than Marquette when you got that player. Then, Steve, you talk about the guys that they had around. I mean, they came in not knowing how good John Morant really was.
For because sure. Underestimated.
They underestimated his talent.
Ooh, they got video. Didn't they watch the
game? But they didn't think he can get 16 assists.
Oh, maybe not from that perspective.
There's no way they thought he can get 16.
They didn't want him to get 40. That's what
they were focused on. Right, they didn't want him to get 40.
Right.
And he didn't. But he got like 70.
Yeah.
He just added it all up.
Pretty much.
Let everybody else do it.
The Joker, when he got triple-double, the last time somebody did was Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Draymond Green and Dwayne Wade. And I think some of that is how difficult it is to have a triple-double in the NCAA tournament.
Very difficult.
We've been brainwashed by watching Russell Westbrook average a triple-double in the NBA, and it looks so much easier. It's not that easy to do in college basketball, especially in this tournament.
You got to have kids that make shots, too, though.
And that's what they did.
They don't get the assist, they don't make the shot.
Right, and I haven't watched Murray State. I haven't watched him a lot this year, so I don't know. But I knew that number 10 guy was pretty good. But the big fella they had in the middle, Big D, I mean, that guy.
Big D.
Did score a lot of points, but defensively he was stout. He could move, and he got boards.
See, now what you want to see is what do they do in the next round?
Exactly.
Like, if Murray State wins again, then this doesn't look as bad
next?
For Marquette.
They get Florida State next. And that's going to be a fun game.
Florida State runs a lot of zone, too. Florida State's way too long for them.
But
we'll see. But Steve don't like Florida State's coach.
And I don't like Rick Barnes of Tennessee either. And Colgate's only down 3 now with 7 minutes to go in that game against Tennessee.
What's the two seed? What's the score?
I got
58-55 Tennessee.
Okay, I got Tennessee.
That looks like it might hit that under.
Going to the Final Four.
What? No. You should not have done that with Rick Barnes.
No, that's
a bad idea.
Well, it was either him or Virginia.
Okay. Well, Gary, we're going to look at the rest of Gary's bracket. We'll review all of our brackets coming up here in the next couple of minutes. First, let's grab KJ in here before the break. KJ, you're on the Fan.
Aloha, my brothers. Thanks for taking my call. Beautiful day in Wisconsin. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day for the Badgers today. They'll keep the trend going of all the Big Ten teams winning in the first round thus far. But going to Marquette's game yesterday, that was just a dismal performance all the way around. And when they came out of the locker room at halftime, and they just didn't have anything defensively, they knew going in that that team was an interior juggernaut. They knew that that's where they scored most of their points, yet they just let them have their way. And Ja Morant is the real deal. The guy's NBA ready right now. But he's the only guy they had, you know. Yet, you know, they had other guys that were making shots. They were getting anything they wanted inside, Gary. And I don't know, yeah. I'm going to go back in the time machine with you, Gary, right now.
Yeah.
Pudgy dude, the center for Murray State. Remember yeah. Fred Murray who played Rerun on What's Happening?
Yeah.
That's who
yeah.
he reminded me of, man. He went to the free throw line. I almost started. I was tearing up, man. I was laughing so hard. But
yeah,
the
but
dude
I think
can
he's
play.
Probably 6'8", 6'9". Rerun when that tall. Rerun.
Yeah, well, I know 5'9". That, but the face, man.
Rerun was
kind of
like
size.
Rummy size.
Yeah.
At one point.
So, I mean, I was tripping, man. So the whole thing was they weren't prepared. They're very ill prepared under Woj yesterday. And I just think it's time for change for Marquette. And I'm going to throw a name out there.
Go ahead.
I'm going to throw a name out there, G. I want to see D. Wade perhaps put his hat in the ring once he retires to be Marquette coach.
Okay.
He's from the area.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
No, not happening.
Yeah, appreciate it, KJ. Yeah, that's not happening.
Nah, you do have Novak here.
Steve Novak, possibility.
Yeah,
I don't know if Novak
he,
wants to do that,
right.
though.
I don't
know
either.
You know him better than I do.
If he,
I don't know.
Novak would be doing that if he wanted to. He'd be on the sideline.
Now, Travis Diener could, once he's done playing.
But remember, he was assistant coach.
Now, Diener may be.
He was coaching with him, and then he
that
left
one,
to go back and play.
To go back
yeah,
and play.
Diener may maybe.
For sure.
That could be it.
But, Steve, they have to, as an institution, they have to figure out where they want to be and what they want to do.
Well, and that
and
also.
That's what it's all about.
There's another point. We'll get into that at 5 o'clock during Pick a Lane
sure.
when we bring this back. But with Travis Diener, that could mesh very, very well in that sense. We'll look at our brackets, and Gary Ellerson has Tennessee going to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Yikes. They're just down 2 to Colgate right now, a 15 beating a 2. As I slide over here, it is 47-41. Virginia now out in front of Gardner-Webb. We'll give you the rest of the scores, and the Badgers getting ready to get underway at the SAP Center in San Jose. Come on out here, 618 North Water Street, Element Lounge. Come watch it with the Wendy's Big Show. Drink some Bacardi, some Grey Goose, just $4. Get some wings for $5. And Gary Ellerson has a place where you can get a nice deal on a new car.
My good folks at Hyundai West Dallas. Going to talk to Dean Murray. Highway 100 and Arthur Avenue, guys. You want to fulfill all your transportation needs, but you're looking for a new or used car in stock right now today. Go see my good friends at Hyundai West Dallas, located on Highway 100 and Arthur Avenue. As for my good friend Dean Murray, he's in the business of sell cars, not just look at them. Did I say Dean Murray? No, you're
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, you said Dean Murray.
Dan Richards.
Richards. I caught myself. Dan Richards is the car guy. Dean Murray is the jewelry guy. Go get you some jewelry.
He could probably sell cars, though.
Go get you some jewelry. Then go get your car from Dan Richards. Go check him out, guys. That is Dan Richards, Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100, and Arthur Avenue.
Matt Manachurian from Sports Info Solutions talks draft with us in 10 minutes. Wendy's Big Show back well before that from Element Lounge on the Fan. Big Show live from Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street. Come hang out with us right in between Michigan and Wisconsin. Oh, Ladybug Building. You still see the ladybugs right on the side of the building. You know exactly where we're at. We're out here till 6 o'clock watching some college basketball. Badgers just getting underway at the SAP Center up against the Oregon Ducks. Early, it's a 3-2 Wisconsin lead out at the SAP Center. Come on out here, enjoy some $4 Grey Goose, $4 Bacardi, $2 beers, and $5 wing baskets, and make sure that your brackets aren't busted. Gary, how's your bracket looking so far?
Let me look. Looks like so far Syracuse didn't make it, right?
No, they did not.
And Seton Hall?
No, they did not. No, Syracuse did not.
That was yesterday. So first date, I lost 2.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm holding steady at like I was 10-6 yesterday for the morning session today.
Uh-huh.
Haven't missed anything.
Yeah.
As of yet, as the Tennessee Volunteers up 6 now over Colgate, 66-60. Sparky, how's yours looking right now?
I don't know. I haven't even looked at mine. I should probably look at it. I know one thing. Kansas State getting knocked out did not help me at all.
Well, so you had Kansas State making a move, huh?
Yeah. Well, at least for a couple of rounds, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought they'd get out of this weekend.
Let's make sure I didn't have
I'd still be okay. I think I had Kansas State over Oregon in this round. So that's okay. But my Final Four is still intact. As long as Texas Tech doesn't lose this week, I'm fine. Weekend, I'm pretty good. Tennessee now up to a six-point lead on Colgate in that 2:15 matchup. With 3 minutes to go in that one. So maybe Rick Barnes won't choke it away after all.
Yeah, Rick Barnes might be able to get himself going.
I got Oregon beating Kansas State.
Well, so you're still good then.
Yeah, you're looking good,
G. So that didn't affect you at all.
Yeah.
That loss. How far do you have Oregon going?
Looks like Sweet 16.
Losing the Virginia Cavaliers?
Yeah, yeah.
And Virginia going to get out of Gardner-Webb's game.
Now I got to get Tennessee going here.
Well, they're up 6, 3 minutes left. You should be all right.
Tennessee's okay.
I'd really like that point total to stay under like 146, right around there.
Yeah.
If that game could end, you know, like 70-65, we'd be feeling real good. Joe Pa would be in a nice spot.
Cuz.
What?
Ethan Happ gonna fire these boys out.
He is just playing some bully ball down low.
Well, and if they're gonna let it go, like if they're gonna do this, okay, Wisconsin wins.
They're letting them play. So
far, no, they're not letting him play.
Oh, just he's bullying around and he's getting every call.
He's getting every call.
I mean, a couple minutes in,
he's into their chest the whole night. Ethan Happ is. If they're gonna let Ethan Happ be bully guy and they can't be bully back with him, Oregon's gonna foul everybody out.
Well, and here's also the issue though. That could be part of the strategy if you're Oregon. Put Ethan Happ at the free throw line and let him roll.
No doubt.
Let him go to the free throw line and just dare him to beat you.
So they got enough bodies to run at him.
Probably.
We'll have to see. I mean, that's a deep ball club. That's a deep Oregon ball club.
How much better would they be with Bol Bol, though? If Bol Bol was there the whole year.
They're very true.
If Bol Bol was there the whole year, they're a much better, higher seed if he was there all year.
They're Final 14.
If he was there all year.
Wisconsin just getting underway, up 7-2 early, just about 3.5 minutes in. Come watch it out here at Element Lounge with the Wendy's Big Show. We're here till 6 o'clock coming up next. We talked to Matt Manichurian from Sports Info Solutions, writer of the SIS Football Rookie Handbook, comprehensive scouting and analytics guide for the 2019 draft. Where does he see the Packers going with those two first-round picks? We'll ask Matt next here on the Wendy's Big Show, live from Element Lounge on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, live here from Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street in Milwaukee. Watching the Wisconsin Badgers here on a college basketball Friday. No better day to come on out, skip out the last couple hours of work. Come on out here, have a couple of drinks, eat some chicken wings, and watch some basketball out at Element Lounge. And be in your element out here at Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street with the Wendy's Big Show. Right now we hit up the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Catch up with our man, Matt Manichurian from Sports Info Solutions, author of the SIS Football Rookie Handbook, a comprehensive scouting and an analytics guide to the 2019 draft. Matt, appreciate the time, man, and welcome into the Wendy's Big Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm in my element.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we are. Look at you. Look at Matt. Matt's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, he know what time it is.
Matt, people here in Wisconsin jacked up about having two first-round picks for the Packers. Let's start out at number 12. Is there a player at 12 that you could see being there that would just be can't miss for the Green Bay Packers in needs of some defensive help?
Well, I'm not a big guy that looks at drafts in terms of need in general. I've learned from being inside a couple of organizations with the Saints and the Browns as a scout that I think you make a lot of mistakes when you start drafting on need and trying to think of that sort of thing. Every position on your team is a need, and especially you're one injury away from something you really don't think is a need being a need. So I'm all about getting the best players available, and I think there's one guy in particular, Ed Oliver, who it sounds like he's not going to go in the top five, and if doesn't go in the top five, he could be hanging around there in the 12 range, and I think that could be a real steal of the draft if he's available in that sort of range. So that's the first one that comes to mind for sure.
Let's talk about offensive linemen at 12 that you like a lot, and then offensive linemen around 30, because it seems like they're going to probably take at least one offensive lineman between these two picks.
Yeah, you got to be building up front, and there are a lot of guys, but I don't think there's anybody that's really a high-end prospect. I don't think there are any linemen that we've graded this year that really justify the pick at number 12. Obviously, you could have your pick of a few guys there, but I do think you'd probably be reaching if you were going for offensive line that early, unless they've fallen in love with one of these guys and they really think he's a great fit, which, you know, it's always possible. But I look more into that 30 range. I think you'll still really have your pick of a lot of guys there. Cody Ford is a guy that I like in that, late first to second round late range. Yadni Kajus sounds like he could still be available in the second round. Those guys there, I think there are about 10 players that could become starting level offensive linemen, but I don't think we really see these players really come off the board until the second day of the draft.
What about the kid from offensive lineman from Alabama? Is it Jonah Williams?
Yep, mm-hmm. Jonah Williams, good player, solid player, and a little bit different than a lot of the Alabama offensive linemen that maybe we've seen in the past. I don't think he's got quite maybe the physical attributes that overwhelm you in terms of certain things, but this is a guy that's been getting it done. He's been playing for years, just a real solid player. I think a plug-and-play guy. He's a guy that I think you're right on, right, with those guys I mentioned before.
Well, could he be at 12? Could you? Would that be a reach?
Or even, I get worried, yeah.
Would that be a reach at 12 for him?
I think so. It's hard to say what's a reach and what's not a reach. If you get a good football player, you get a good football player, and it doesn't end up being a reach. But based on the grades that I did, based on the analytics that we've put together, we find that there's not a lot of high-end value on the offensive line in this draft.
What do you have him going in this draft then?
Well, I'm not mock drafting people like that, but he's right there.
Okay.
He's in that first tier of offensive tackles in this draft. But those guys for us are all solid starters, not really Pro Bowl upside type guys. So he's a probably a late first round to mid second round type grade.
That's what I was trying to get out of you. Okay, sounds good. What about if the Packers are looking for a pass rushing guy, outside linebacker at 12?
Yeah, so if you're looking for pass rushing help, obviously the guy that's going to come off the board early, Nick Bosa, he's already probably spoken for in the top five. But
right.
I think that if Josh Allen, if somehow he's available there, he'd be the top real edge guy that's produced. But he did at Kentucky. You just saw a ridiculous pressure production from him. And then the other guy to take a look at that I think more realistically could be available there is Montez Sweat. I know people have had different discussions about him. He obviously had a ridiculous combine performance, I think a 4.41 at over 250 pounds or whatever he is. But he's not just the combine wonder. It's not like he just showed up at the combine and had measurables and people loved him. This is a guy that he's not been the most productive player on film, but you see it there, and you see it when he puts it together. He's really got some explosiveness in his game. He could be a scary pass rusher for years to come.
What about Burns at Florida State?
Burns at Florida State was a little bit lower than those other two guys. He's kind of right after those guys there. I don't think he would be a terrible pick at that range. I don't see the kind of high-end kind of explosiveness and really the ability to be a real game-changer that I think those other guys might present, but he might be a little bit more of a safe pick. You feel like you know what you're getting.
Talking with Matt Manoogian, talking NFL draft here on the Wendy's Big Show live from Element Lounge. Matt, the Packers are going to be running the football a lot more under Matt LaFleur, and a name that I really like out of Alabama and seeing where you guys have him ranked is just on the bottom half of that three high-end, three-down starter, possible Pro Bowl talent-level guy would be Josh Jacobs, running back out of Alabama. Is that a possible pick at 30, or do you think that that would be more realistic to be able to wait till that second-round time?
I think Josh Jacobs is probably going to come off the board late in the first round. I don't think he makes it to the second round in this draft, if I had to guess. He's as a running back prospect, he's not quite at the level of your Todd Gurley's and Ezekiel Elliott's, the guys that have really been, Saquon Barkley coming out last year, I think of the guys that have really solidified themselves as, even though maybe we don't say running backs are worth first round picks anymore, and that's the whole running back evaluation thing. These guys are ridiculous players. Those guys go up there. Josh Jacobs, I throw him just a tick below that. So I think he ends up going late in the first round. A powerful running back, the ability to run with speed, the ability to catch the ball, all those sorts of things. Josh Jacobs, I think talent-wise, he's got the most upside of any running back in this draft.
This may sound crazy, but I saw somewhere, too, that the Packers are also in the market for a slot receiver. I mean, I know Clemson's had that one guy out there that's pretty good. And they took, three receivers last year, Green Bay Packers. Is there anybody out there maybe at 30 that they could be looking at for a receiver or a slot guy?
So I don't love the choices at receiver up on the high end. And as a team building philosophy, I was more with you guys in the beginning talking about building up the offensive line and building up, you know, the defense in general. But I do think, you know, when you look into those slot targets, I think there's some value deep in this draft. And I think on day two, day three, I think the Packers could pick up some people that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to make them look like they're first rounders some of the time. So guys that I look out for specifically in the slot, one name that's probably, you know, he's come way up draft boards from being off the radar was Andy Isabella out of UMass. This guy is a slot receiver, but unlike the kind of shifty Edelman-type slot receivers, Welkers that we're used to seeing, this guy's got vertical speed. So he's going to come in, line up in the slot a lot of the time, but he's going to be stretching the seam in that defense, and I think that could be really valuable in where modern offenses are going these days. The Clemson, yeah, you mentioned him as well. This is a really good football player. This is a really good receiver. The test himself is not, you know, anything special in terms of that, but all he's going to do is come onto the field and produce and be a value for whoever gets him. So, you know, two guys right off the bat right there that I think maybe not high-end picks, but can be really valuable players.
Matt, we got your book right here that you guys sent to us, and absolutely love it. The SIS Football Rookie Handbook for 2019 from Sports Info Solutions. And in here, you know, if you open up to, like, edge rushers, you guys do more than just the basic writing of stuff. You also have a lot of numbers attached to different positional factors. So for people that don't have the book, you have numbers associated with edge rushers as pass rush, repertoire, range, discipline, bend, flat coverage, tackling, hand use, motor, ruggedness, play strength, football intelligence, special teams value, point of attack set the edge, first step explosion, pass rush ability. You grade them on all of these different areas, and obviously the areas are different for each position, but that is an amazing thing. Like, I'm not sure I've seen as in-depth of a deal as I have with your guide here.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think there's really good reason for that. So my background is with two teams as an NFL scout. So all the scouting reports you see in this book, top 250 players in this draft, this is adapted directly from what I was doing in New Orleans under Mickey Loomis and Ryan Pace, and then also under Mike Lombardi with the Browns. So this is adapted from actual NFL teams, what they're using for their grading scales. You'll see that we've gone away from a round-based grading system. This guy's a third-rounder, fifth-rounder, like we did early in my career. And now it's more, what is this guy going to be for us? Is he going to be our third down back? Is he going to be a three-down pass rusher? What's the role of this guy? How much does he help our team? And then we'll let the Browns take care of themselves after that. So get those scouting reports for every player, and that incorporates both the write-ups and those grades, those trait grades that you're talking about, kind of the holy grail of scouting since the beginning of time. Then, in addition to that, Sports Info Solutions, what we're famous for is the analytics stuff. So we work with the NFL teams. We provide different information to them based on our army of 60 video scouts who break down every NFL and college football game. And this is the first time with the book that we're releasing some of these stats out into the public. As you can see, like, we have number of routes run for the wide receiver. So that'll tell you a guy's route tree, how big his route tree is. Is he running just three routes all the time, or is he running nine different routes? That's something that'll tell you something about the receivers. Like, if you compare a DK Metcalf to his teammate AJ Brown, you can see the route diversity difference between them. We're measuring things like how you perform against zone or versus man coverage so that we can get you into the right scheme fit. The kind of stuff that football people have been following for a long time, we're now trying to apply the numbers. As opposed to the other way around, I think people hate analytics because a lot of times we try to fit the football to the numbers, and I think we all know that doesn't work.
Matt, final thing for you here. I do want to ask you about somebody that you just mentioned that you worked with, Ryan Pace, and we know him all too well now in the division with the Chicago Bears. Just how great of a mind do you think he is, and how successful are you expecting that Bears team to be in this division?
I think that the Bears are scary. I think and not just the team they have right now with Khalil Mack, but I think when you look at what they have in the GM and in the head coach chair, they've got a formidable group there, a lot like what we had in New Orleans, and we still have in New Orleans with Mickey and Sean kind of running the show. Pace is a football guy. You know, at his core, he was a defensive end playing at Eastern Illinois, and he can come up all that kind of way. But he's a really smart guy, too, really detailed-oriented. He made his bones in New Orleans doing the pro scouting reports, where he would come in, speak to the team on Monday morning, telling them everything that they needed to know about their next opponent, or the coaches on Monday, the team on Wednesday, everything you need to know. And he can paint a picture of players in a way that everybody understood. I think Coach Payton saw it, and that's why his career took off. And then really, I think the success or failure of their team this year is going to come down to the quarterback. Mitch Trubisky, I still don't think we really know what we have with him. I think that if he pans out and he can become what they hope he can become, this is a scary, scary team, and they've got a brain trust in place that could be there for a while. You know, other scouts that I worked with, like Josh Lucas on their staff, you know, really smart. He's a Harvard guy. I mean, you're talking about really smart people, but also people that really understand football really well. So it's going to come back to that quarterback position, and kind of opposite of the Packers. You know, they seem to have everything else in place but the quarterback. You guys are a little bit the opposite of that right now. It'll be interesting to see how we play it out and which of those can get the other side straightened out sooner.
Matt, we really appreciate the time, man. We love the book, and we'll continue to talk with you as we get closer to the NFL draft, just a couple months away. And I really appreciate the time here on a Friday for the Wendy's Big Show, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Check out the book on Amazon.com, the SIS Football Rookie Handbook. Appreciate you having me.
That's Matt Manicharian joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Wendy's Big Show. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Hey. Wendy's Big Show out at Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street.
Hey, man, what happened to the Badgers?
What do you mean?
Well, they're down. What happened? I thought they were going to just pound it inside and be okay.
Well, I got them losing.
I know, but yeah. What's going on? You were watching it more than I was.
Oregon's doing what Oregon do.
Badgers just missing shots?
Well, they are getting out athletic right now.
Out athletic.
Yeah.
That happens.
That'll
a lot.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting out athletic right
How
now.
How did Dick Benning was able to overcome that? Tell me that, because every game they played in the tournament, they were out athletic. Remember that Arizona team they beat?
Yeah.
They were full of NBA players.
Yeah.
Still won. So how did his teams were able to win? And yet these teams can't. Marquette yesterday, right. Badgers now.
I mean, he had the same problems.
That's what I'm saying, but they were able to overcome and win against these teams that are more athletic.
Not really. What did they win?
Okay, fine. They went to the Final Four, though.
Yeah,
can't win a game in the tournament.
Well, Marquette went to the Final Four. Well, Marquette started over.
I'm saying now.
Right. Yeah, that's still young. They Marquette's redoing it.
In transition.
They're shuffling the deck.
Transition.
Wisconsin's going to still do what Dick Bennett did.
Oh, they've got better athletes now than Dick Bennett ever had.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to do what Dick Bennett did. They're going to do what Bo did.
Right.
Mess around and have some guys that are a little bit unathletic, good college
mess
basketball.
Mess around and get a triple-double every once and again.
Rick Barnes, I got a problem with you.
Uh-oh.
I got a problem with Rick Barnes.
Uh-oh.
I got a major problem with Rick Barnes and his Tennessee Volunteers.
I got to see if I got a ticket out there because I tried to go put some money in there.
Huh?
And it says I can't put no more money in the meter. I got to see if they done towed my car.
Why don't you go check that out? We'll take a quick timeout. Anthony Mandela has a sports flash.
Okay.
Get you all the scores across the country.
Right.
It's a college basketball Friday with the Wendy's Big Show live at Element Lounge. More next on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.